Ahoy, ahoy! It's Julia of Allie and Julia, the number one Simpsons podcast on Feral Audio. Everything's coming up Simpsons. I'm here to tell you, dear listener, that we are taking a mini holiday siesta. And, during our siesta, we wanted to bring back some of our favorite episodes from before we joined Feral. In case you are a new listener and you haven't heard some of these tasty eps, they include people that are Simpsons people, directors, animators, showrunners from The Simpsons, some other Feral Audio people like, I don't know, Mike Mitchell from The Doughboys. We got him on there twice, so you'll probably hear at least one. And then you'll probably just stop our podcast and then go listen to Doughboys. And in fact, you won't be wrong. It's a very good quality podcast, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about The Simpsons, and we just wanted to, let you guys know that these are also some of our favorite episodes of all time. And I know that it sounds like we just say that. I know that that sounds like some marketing copy to make you go, ooh, I'm going to download. But no, it's the truth. Not only are these great guests that we've loved, but also great episodes. They really cover the gamut from the Golden Age. So we hope you enjoy. We're going to see you guys soon with some fresh new episodes for your friggin' ears. How about that? All right, bye. This episode is brought to you by good old-fashioned town pride. It's been going downhill since a lake caught on fire. Root marm. It's a flavorless flavor. Let's try that again. A flavorless mush. Root marm. And Baron Von Costume's deluxe disguise kit. That's about it, actually.
Yeah, I was good. I had in bold in my notes, flavorless mush I call root marm.
Yeah.
It just sounds so good.
Oh, we just got another sponsor just in.
What's that, Julia?
Yeah, a car impound lot. The impenetrable fortress of suburbia. That's another sponsor. We're very happy to have these sponsors. They keep this show alive. We are joined today by very talented, very funny, very close to The Simpsons too. So it's a real pleasure to have you here, Mike Mitchell.
It's an honor being here. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been wanting you on the show for a while. Yes. So you used to work as a PA on The Simpsons.
I did. Yeah, I was a writer's PA from 2007. Right during the writer's strike.
Wow.
Until,
oh, cool. Yeah,
until 2011,
what
three and a half years.
What seasons were those?
Oh, my goodness. I think I got there in season... They're on season 26
right now.
Right now. So, yeah, I was... It ended around... I think I left around, like, 20, like when they were working on 21, maybe, or 20, and I was there, like, for 17, 18-ish. When I first got there, was it season 18 that they just, like, started... it's all now a blur, by the way, because I was there
oh,
for so
I bet.
Long.
Yeah.
They had a push out season 18 or whatever. They had once the writer's strike ended, it was like a crazy thing where they had to do like two table reads and two records a week.
Oh,
whoa.
My God.
So like,
and it's usually one or.
Yeah, it's usually one, and it was a kind of like nonstop. Yeah, like they were way behind schedule.
Oh my God.
So yeah. So it was like, for me, it was just like, I didn't get to appreciate it as much and like kind of like read through the scripts. I was just like flying through scripts.
It was work.
It was work. It was definitely work. And I was highlighting scripts for the actors and stuff like that. That was our job. Just getting the writers lunch, getting them coffee. And then
anybody have weird lunch orders?
No, but I can still.
Yeah. Give us the dirt.
I can still remember Al Jean's coffee order to this day.
What is it?
Black coffee.
A black coffee. That's why. It's so easy.
Did he just say, like my men? And then he pointed at his nose.
I was like, this is my first day, sir.
No. Very inappropriate.
Why did you hire me?
Yeah, HR standing right here. Poorly timed.
He got a large decaf, non-fat, sugar-free, iced vanilla latte.
Nice.
I still remember. I still could remember a lot of... I can remember probably a lot of things.
You went to school for that.
I did. I went to school for that. But you know what? It was a great job. I don't want to make it sound like I was... It was really cool, and to see that process, and I was a fan of the show forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I loved the show growing up, and it was part of the reason why I'm probably out here is that show. So It was cool to witness everything, and I was there for the table reads, all the table reads, and
yeah.
the records and stuff. And
what are yeah. some highlights? Like, what were some of the best moments of working on that show during that time?
And also, how did you get this position?
Oh, yeah. Let's start there.
How did I get this position? Okay. So I was a CBS page, those mm-hmm. goofy guys that wear, and gals that wear yeah. red jackets and like a kind of like load
NBC
audiences.
NBC has them too.
NBC has
but
them,
I don't
yeah.
think any
Kenneth
other studio.
From 30 Rock is yeah, a famous
yeah.
one.
yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure there's a framed photo of him. In the NBC
yeah, oh, we all looked up to
then.
Him.
Yes, absolutely.
This was before 30 Rock, I think, was on the air. But, there's a bunch of CBS and NBC pages, and I think maybe ABC has them, but I'm not sure.
Right.
But I applied to the page program. This is like when I was first out here. I was maybe 23. After a year of doing, you know, not too much, and
right.
trying to figure out what the hell
so
goes
you
on
do
in the
at
city.
23, you PA, you
sit
intern.
Around,
yeah, you do whatever. You like, can I hold a box?
Yeah, exactly.
I hold a box.
It was good, and I had started going to UCB, but at that point, I was just watching a lot of shows and taking classes, and I didn't really have like the same group of friends that I have now at that point. And so I applied to the CBS page job, and I got that. And I worked there for a little while and worked on The Price is Right and like a few other shows, and that was fun.
Oh man, The Price is Right.
Oh yeah,
I was
there for the Bob Barker years. Yeah. I was there for his retirement. Actually, I was there for
wow.
his last show. Yeah.
Wow.
That's, yeah.
Those are two pretty big things that you got to be a part of, like the retirement and then the writer's strike while working at The Simpsons.
It was a crazy
wow.
time,
that's
man.
A really
yeah,
time.
You're gonna tell your kids, oh. and they will not care.
No, they'll
but
totally
we do.
Care. Where are your kids?
No, I mean at a certain age, and yeah. then they'll care when they're like. 14, 15.
The mid to late aughts were a crazy time in
yeah.
the
yeah,
business.
Yeah, that's how you start every story.
Oh, the mid to
Maybe
late
aughts. Maybe that's why
aughts.
They don't care, because you started with the mid to late aughts.
Kids, gather around. Let me tell you about a story about the mid to late aughts, and everyone walks off.
I'm never quite sure
An
when I say...
An old man is speaking.
Yeah.
They all sit.
Tie-in.
Shut up.
I won't jump into the episode yet, but I love how they all immediately sit down in front of them.
It is such
fun.
This
movie.
Is a perfect
yeah.
episode.
Yes.
It and
is.
We will get to
We
it.
Will
We're
get
gonna
into
get
it,
so
but I want.
Into
let's get
it.
Down to brass tacks.
Okay,
first.
I'll keep going. So let me speed the story along, and then my friend Dave Ferguson, who's in the Birthday Boys, he worked at Imagine Television, and him and this girl Kim Powers told me about how this job on the show Shark, which was the James Woods show mm-hmm. on CBS, there was a job opening up in the post department. So I applied to that, and that was on the Fox lot,
uh-huh.
And so I went over there and worked over there. And being a post PA is like, for the people who have done it, if you're on like one of those big network shows, like you got to run around and give like DVDs of cuts of the show to like everybody that's like involved with the show. And so like, and sometimes those will come out like 2 a.m. So then
right.
you're
oh,
driving
man.
Like to like 17 houses at like 2 a.m.
Man.
But
yeah.
the writer strike happened right while I was in that job. And the job got way easier. And then the show got canceled. And while we were in the writer's strike and I had heard that the show was going to get canceled, I had been going by The Simpsons every day, and it was just like, well, this place that, you know, I watched the show my entire life and I love the show.
It's
and
like when Bart walks by the Mad offices.
It's 100% like that. There's like yeah. there's a little Bart bush out in front of the bungalow there, and it's mm-hmm. just it seems like such a magical place. And I knew so many of those writers just because I am a nerd and I know of them and so I was like, man, I really would love to work over there. And so the way it happened is I got the extension for The Simpsons, and I called the PA office, and I was like, hey, are you guys looking for anyone? And this guy Colin, who ended up being my coworker, was like, actually, you know what, like, we are looking for someone. And he's like, send your resume in or whatever. And so then another birthday boy, Tim Kalpakis, worked at Gracie Films,
uh-huh.
which and they produced the show, but they were on the Sony lot. And I told him, like, I'm gonna apply for this Simpsons PA job, and like, could you just like put my resume on the right desk? And he's like, sure thing. So Tim Kalpakis put it on one of the producers' desks, Lorena Adamson, and then I got called in for a job. For an interview, rather, and I got in there, and she was like, "So Tim Long recommended you," and I.
Oh my gosh!
And he didn't. it was Tim Kalpakis.
Oh my god!
She just had heard that like Tim had recommended this guy.
How lucky! My friend Matt recommended me.
You know, Matt
to the top.
Yeah, and Tim Long is, for those who don't know, he's a writer on the show
and also all around nice man.
Great guy.
So he would recommend you if he knew you.
Maybe he would have. I wonder. I wonder what would have happened.
That's an incredible mistake.
It was huge mistake, and they
ego blow to your friend Tim.
No.
So exciting though.
Yeah, no, he knew. I mean, we laughed about it. And also I didn't correct Lorena. I just nodded my head and was like, okay.
You don't know. He may have.
Yeah, he might.
He may have seen you perform sketch comedy or seen you do an improv graduation class.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, there was little on my resume at that point.
Right, but you know, come on.
I'd loved if that was part of the writer's job. So just going through the resumes and just like, this one. He's my boy.
You know, you do when you apply for that job and you get interviewed. Before they hire you, you do sit down with and talk with Al in like his office, and
here's the kind of coffee I like.
Right away,
can you recite it back to me?
Forget it.
Can you recite it back to me? I'll wait a year.
Just this Devil Wears Prada type.
Oh my god! Yeah, absolutely.
It is. It was a little intimidating because like I know Al Jean.
You've seen his name a million times.
So yes, exactly, and that was kind of my nerves. I was a little shaking all over the place when I went into his office, but it went well, and I got the job, and I carried that secret with me until now. So
they'll
wipe me from the record books, maybe.
No.
You know, I think a lot of people that listen to the podcast and love the show, in fact, Caitlin Gill, who was our last guest, have this kind of wouldn't want to see the behind the curtain element of it. Did any of working there make you enjoy it more or in a different way or even possibly less?
You guys are really digging deep with these questions.
Yeah, they want to know.
And if you'd like to stay positive, you know,
absolutely.
I will stay positive because
feel free.
I like all the guys that I got to work with over there, and I was lucky to get to work with so many funny and talented guys. They're all really great, nice guys. It is a job, you know what I mean? Like it is like. And they were just coming off the movie. Like I got to go to the premiere of the movie with Tim Kalpakis.
Oh my god, so cool!
Yeah, that was and that was fun.
Great,
yeah.
The movie's great.
Man, you had a really good time there.
I was there at kind of an interesting time. I think that all those guys are so talented. And they do such a great job. But it's a show that has a system. It's been on for a long time now, obviously, and I'm sure that it's a job that can be challenging to still come up with such funny, great episodes like they
do.
Right,
absolutely.
But it definitely is a job. When I first got there, like I was saying, it was like double sessions with the two table reads a week, and it was like we were there late, and they were saying like the movie was kind of the same way where. A guy who goes to UCB and a friend of mine, Joe Saunders, would be there, and they would be like photocopying stuff till the sun was coming up,
wow.
And then like go home. Yeah. So it was crazy. It was fun. I met so many great people, and I'm still friends with so many of them to this day.
It's like serving in the trenches. Like
it is. Yeah, you know? I think it is because I think that when you hear like people ask Conan or something about it, and not that I had a job that was even near the level of what the writers do, but like it does kind of feel like a little fraternity or club or something, or sorority.
To SNL they go through it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why when people were like, they ask Conan about it, he's like, God, it was a job or whatever. Right. I get that. Even though there's so much fun and funny stuff coming up.
Oh, absolutely. You're working hard, especially in the way that you're describing the time that you're coming in. You're working doubly hard. But I think even without the writer's strike, it would be like long hours. You probably wouldn't have that much of a personal life to go to.
It was. You know what? And I was young and I didn't know like a ton of people at that point. So it was good.
It was fine.
So my life was Simpsons. And then I started doing stuff at UCB and I was in a sketch group. And then then it started to get hard to juggle the two. But yeah, I think positively on my experiences over there. I moved into the role of a post-production PA at one point, and that was a lot of fun. And
that must have been really exciting.
It was fun, and you got to kind of do like a little bit more creative stuff, and like you like transcribe stuff. It's fun, and you have like the master library of every episode and
Ooh,
stuff.
That
and
sounds
like
great.
The original tapes and stuff like that. Yeah, it's
That's
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's transition into
why this episode.
Why this episode? So you're doing Lemon of Troy, which is a much beloved episode. Like we are so excited to talk about this episode.
Yeah, I love this episode. I don't know if it's 100% my favorite episode, but it's definitely top 5 to top 10.
It's great
episodes. There's a couple reasons why I wanted to do it. Like, I think that there's something about this episode where like, well, Bart is the star of it, and like, Bart, you kind of get like that Homer and Bart team up, like when those two kind of team together, it's so fun. And I know it's just like much later that Homer comes into the scene, but just those two kind of being like goofy and pairing up like for one cause is so fun to me. Like, yeah,
I just love parent kid team ups on The Simpsons.
When Homer and Bart are together and they're like firing in on all cylinders, it's so funny. And
yeah,
and it's like, triumphant too. There's something very just like they're doing it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're doing it. Like, and season 6 is maybe my favorite season. And I was looking through last night and I was like, oh man, season 7 I love a lot, but seasons 4 through 7/8 are like the sweet spot for me. And so this is like one of my favorite episodes from that. Also, it has like this end of summer feeling where it's like, like it kind of has like that, like summer is winding down right now. And it kind of has that little bit of that like Stand By Me or something vibe where it's like, oh, it's like a,
we went through a lot.
They go through a lot. And there's so many reasons. It's a great Milhouse episode. Yes. Milhouse is so funny in this episode. He's so great.
There are great Milhouse moments that carry for his character, like throughout the whole series. I mean, just like him finding, well, the whole like instance of all of the Shelbyville characters being like these weird, like 1 degree off, like duplicates of them.
That is so.
That this is
so
what happens,
funny.
Or this is what it feels like when doves cry, right? It's such a quotable moment.
It's there were so, when I was watching it again, I was like, oh, there's so many kind of classic quotable moments in this. Yeah.
This is the episode I use mostly for my Milhouse song, actually. Most of my jokes are, I mean, my last lyric is that. But it's funny because a lot of people that love The Simpsons don't get that that's a Prince joke. It's a Prince lyric.
Right, right.
And that's kind of why it was funny, but it's also just really funny by itself.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things. You know, I knew that just because Prince was talked about a lot in my household. But
it's a good household.
But it's still funny, even if you don't get it.
It's really great. I watched this episode last night with my buddy Paul Rust, and I asked him. I was like, "It's when doves cry," and I knew like, but I didn't know if he said if dogs cry. And I was like, it is doves cry. Like that makes sense as a joke. He's like, yeah, that's
right. This is thank God for Paul.
If dogs cry.
Glad Paul was there to explain things to me.
But you were saying so. Your reasoning.
Another reason. Well, also just to point out for Milhouse a little bit more. Pamela Hayden. Shout out to Pamela because she's one of my favorite people. I still talk to her.
I hear she's really nice. Ben Schwartz on our show was saying that she's really, really
sweet.
She's
the nicest on earth, and I really love her. And she's like a sister to me. I love her so much. And,
I love that.
Yeah, she's great. She's so awesome and funny and so sweet and nice and was so great to me in my time there. And it's a great Milhouse episode. I love Summer 442. That's a great Milhouse episode.
Yeah, really good one.
But this one is, Milhouse is really, he's really knocking it out of the park.
He gets to kick ass. He's not a loser in this one.
He's not a loser. Yeah. And that's, I love that part about this episode too, is like, it kind of has like this real life thing where it's like, life is kind of like, in one of the episodes starts off, it's like, life is kind of boring. And like, what's the point about, like, Bart is kind of struggling with that of like, who cares about this dumb city that I'm from? And then Marge kind of instills in him this thing of like, you should be proud. And like, it's
a part
it's
of us all.
A part of us all. A part of us all. I don't mean to repeat myself, but it's the only way that you'll learn.
I think of that all the time.
Me too.
And that's so great when Bart is like trying to be like, I do like this place or whatever. And like,
but he uses it for evil, kind of. Not really.
He
kind of goes against Marge's initial intent.
Yes, for 100%. But, and also I love that he has like delusions of grandeur where he's like in the beginning where he is skateboarding and then he daydreams about the future where he wrote his name.
Absolutely.
And like he said, and he when he is like regenerated, he says, yeah. "I Karamba," and everyone claps right. for him. It's yeah. so funny.
That whole bit where he sees like the wet cement and decides to write his name in it. It's so good. And that moment has a really great joke. So in like that future daydream, like a future person goes like, oh, you know, he must be so much better than his sister, Lisa, of whom we know little about. Oh, yeah. Yeah, of whom we know nothing.
I wrote that down too.
It's so good.
I mean, that seemed like a Josh Weinstein joke to me, yeah, but who would know?
Yes. And the episode was written by Brent Farser, who's great. He's mm-hmm. such a funny guy. And there's so many reasons for it. But like the idea of like this of Springfield, like, kind of like rallying, like even though they kind of know like the town sucks and it's like whatever, but then they're like, we're also proud and we're gonna like stand up as a community. I love that.
There's like a great like kind of Little Rascals-y vibe to totally. Yeah. how all of the kids are coming together, and I love those episodes
yes.
when they're coming together. Like Bart on the Road has that too.
It feels like Das Bus to me too.
Yes,
just
absolutely.
Seeing the kids together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's great. You get a lot of Data, right? And like, is that his name? Data.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching it with my boyfriend Mike, and he kept saying, "Is that a like a playoff? It's Pat. It must be. Is it a playoff?" And I went, "No, it's not.
No,
I don't think
not
so.
At all."
I honestly think that it was a playoff. It's
really.
Pat. I'm not.
You'd be a
sure.
bigger authority, I think.
I thought it was, because when I was younger, I thought the same thing, because I was like watching.
Oh.
And I was like, but
I guess
maybe
it happened around the same time. So this episode came out in 1995.
Should I text someone from The Simpsons and ask?
Yeah,
should
wait.
I can text Matt Selman and see if that's the case.
Yeah, great. I wanted to say, before we get too deep into the plot of the episode, usually what we like to do is, for people that haven't seen it in a while, we uh-huh. just like to read the first paragraph in the episode guide to sort of catch people. I mean, we've kind of done it, but whatever. It's a bit of business yeah. to take care of.
Let's do it. It's such
yeah,
a great episode.
Yeah. After he writes his name in a section of wet cement on the sidewalk... Lovely. That's how it starts. Yeah.
So it's just like mystery man. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Bart receives a stern talking to from Marge about having respect for his town. Bart takes a lecture about Springfield being a part of us all, a part of us all, a part of us all. I threw that in. To heart and develop civic pride. Then kids from Shelbyville steal Springfield's historic lemon tree, and Bart vows to retrieve the tree to restore his town's honor. I love it. And I love that this is the first time that we're seeing this historic lemon tree.
Yeah.
And I love learning about Shelbyville for the first time. I love the lore of it, in that they like came to that area with Jebediah Springfield.
Yeah.
And the Shelbyville guy has a funny name too. I can't remember what it was.
I love that his last name is Shelbyville instead yeah. of like Shelby.
Name is actually Shelbyville, Manhattan.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Right.
But the
joke is still there. Still that's really there. Funny. Yeah.
I could read the whole bit if you guys want to.
Please do. I love it.
Jebediah Springfield says, "People, our search is over. On this side, we shall build a new town where we can worship freely, govern justly, and grow vast fields of hemp for making rope and blankets." And then Shelbyville, Manhattan says, "Yes, and marry our cousins." Springfield, "I was, what? What? What are you talking about, Shelbyville? Why would we want to marry our cousins?" "Well, because they're so attractive. I thought that was the whole point of this journey."
That's
good.
So funny.
Yeah.
And that's like already alone, like the hemp joke alone is funny.
Yeah.
And this is one of those episodes that like where they were just, they were in a stride right here where like, it has like a joke like every other line.
Absolutely.
It's so crazy. Like it's just getting tossed out.
They
save
for every detail on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it must be hell to write for the show just for that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You can't get through a page without like five jokes, six jokes. Like it's just insane.
Yeah. There's like a classic story about that, right? Where it's like three jokes per line per page or something.
Oh, for
like
The Simpsons?
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are a couple jokes in this that I feel like I kind of have formed my type of comedy on, or ooh, they're just so.
Do tell.
Well, it's very bratty Bart Simpson, but I love when Marge is giving her a part of us all speech and she's like, "When you..."
Oh, yeah.
You know what it is.
Like when you
give that speech, you're boring, Springfield.
Right.
Oh man, I love it. He's a little
he's such a brat. And
he's a little rascal in this one. It's really great. I also love just everyone is like the episode is so like perfectly self-contained, but then also like like, and it's this weird thing where they like everyone is kind of like aloof. Like Homer is like really aloof in it until he's like the last lemon act tree. Where he's like, "Oh, lemon tree," and then he gets he gets into the plot of it. It's so funny.
Yeah,
the whole thing is built so well too because we have the flying motorcycle that starts and ends the whole episode, which is so great. Anytime we could get Professor Frank in an episode, absolutely. Is especially good.
You can always tell that Hank Azaria loves doing that voice.
It's
too.
The best voice.
Yeah, there's so much joy filled in his.
I remember
what's the name of the character that, or who is he based on again? I can't remember.
The Nutty Professor.
Yes. Yeah, the nutty. Who is
Jerry Lewis?
Jerry Lewis. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love it when the parents rally together in that moment where they where Homer goes, "We can go in this RV. That is Flanders's."
Yeah. Also, that's the first Flanders's, which is great.
It's great, but there's a moment where they're like, you know, ranting about Shelbyvillians and Luann Van Houten goes, "Kirk, I was born in Shelbyville," and he goes, "And it tears me up inside."
And that's before they were divorced.
They were divorced.
You get a little hint of the trouble in their marriage. Yeah,
yeah.
I love Marge in this episode. She's such a mom. Yeah. One of my favorite interactions that I even texted a friend just because I thought it was so good is when Bart says, "You're never going to believe this, but something you said got through to me. I'm going to teach those kids a lesson." And Marge says, "I choose to take that literally." And then Homer, of course, to make it even funnier, as if that weren't enough, "Yes, Bart's a tutor now. Toot on, son. Yeah. Toot on." But then later, follow up, Marge checks in again.
As a story device, that's perfect.
Yeah,
for her to be like, "Oh my God, he quit." Also, he that quit mom his, logic of he quit his tutoring job.
To be in a violence gang.
We were talking about that last night. Like how perfect that she still believes that. Like, initially we hear this and we know it's a lie. We know he's not tutoring. And Homer delivers that so perfectly, and then like she chooses to believe it, and then she's still like
still
holding on to it. It's so funny. It's such a that's one of the funniest moments in the episode.
Yeah, describing it as a game of telephone is a good way of looking at that.
That's like, pretty much every
that's
mom
just
interaction.
Her truth now.
Yeah,
it's every mom interaction across the board throughout the world.
there's another funny moment in this episode where after Bart puts on his disguise, to go fit in with the Shelbyville kids. There's two great moments there. That one kid calls out that he has a cool Beatles wig.
Oh yeah.
So they know that he's wearing a wig anyways. Yeah. And then the other part is when he takes off the wig and he's like, "It is I, Bart Simpson," and no one knows who Bart Simpson is.
I love that.
Until
from
he said,
Springfield.
From Springfield.
Oh,
and then
he's from Springfield.
Which is totally perfect because in a different lesser cartoon, you know, or in just any kind of movie, you would just kind of like, "Oh, well, it's our main character. Of course, everyone knows the main character."
No.
It's like, they're not from here. Why would they know?
I feel like I use like a Shelbyville version of .. as an analogy for a lot of things in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever. Instead of doppelganger,
brand.
I'll just say like, "Oh, the Shelbyville version, you mean?"
That's so good.
Thanks.
That's kind of like, what is it in Seinfeld? It's just like the,
oh, I don't know.
It's like the opposite.
The Bizarro.
Bizarro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bizarro George.
Yeah.
Or like I Summertime
Bizarro,
George and Winter George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew somebody that used, instead of Bizarro, like the mirror version. Like gazing through the looking glass.
Yes.
I suppose that's very poetic.
I thought it was funny to have the female version of Groundskeeper Willie.
Yes. And she says really one of my favorite lines that I wrote down.
Get a moment.
It feels like there's like a lot of like Shelbyville and Springfield, if they didn't hate each other, they could probably help each other out. Like maybe
Absolutely.
Willie would love.
I know.
She
that's
Willy.
What I thought.
Like, yeah.
She Willie.
She Willie.
So they speed past her while she's raking leaves, and she turns and says, "Slow down, you sidewalk surfing cube gleamers." Gleaming the cube. So good.
Just as far as quotes, and please jump in with any that you particularly love, because there are just so many good jokes in this one. Bart, when he is trying, he's in his disguise still. Mm-hmm. I heard that there are some kids from Springfield. Curse those handsome devils.
Oh, I know. So curse great. Those handsome devils.
Plus, not in my mouth is what those kids would say.
Yes. It's so
that's
good.
So good. And then also later on when he's trying to escape and he's like, "Look, it's someone's attractive cousin," or whatever.
And they all straighten up.
And also like We already established that they like their own cousins, but now the, it's just the idea of any cousin.
Any cousin.
They love
Well, they're the next generation or the several down generation. Yeah. I also love his logic, and this is like really great, a fusion of cartoon logic mixed with reality of Bart going, all right, now I'm going to use these spray cans as like a, what does he call it? Like a jet
like,
pack.
Yeah, like a jet pack.
Yeah. Yeah, to like, you know, flee off of the cliff, and it's just him standing spray painting his feet.
But
yeah,
then the very cartoonish moment of a man riding a motorcycle in the sky.
Yes.
Like, that's what makes it so good, is you still have the physics that work, but you could still have someone flying.
And I was going to say, also the very cartoonish moment of the next scene, his shoes are not painted at all.
Oh, yeah.
Like, which is great, because we don't care. We don't need that to be carried out.
Well, when he's shooting the green spray paint onto his shoes, it's so fun. Like, they stay on it just long enough. That's like one of the, like, there's a couple good visual moments like that too, is when Bart asks Milhouse, like, how's the lemonade business going? He's like, it's clearly booming.
Oh,
and then like
so
you
good.
Pan over and like,
this was
Lisa,
a pity glass.
Just, yeah. But even just before she even says that, like her positioning and like her holding the cup is just so funny visually. Like, it's one person bought up a glass of lemonade and looks like it looks like they put like the cell like weirdly in place on, like it's so funny looking.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's so good.
There's a great moment in that specific scene. The Simpsons are great about inventing new cromulent words. What is the line, like Milhouse says, like we've
squozen our whole supply.
We've squozen our whole supply. I just wrote squozen.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a cool, like, early 90s kids toy.
Yes.
You know, like the sand that you would squirt underwater and it would form into, like, those little caverns.
Oh, yeah.
I literally just saw that commercial over
That's
the weekend.
Really funny.
Well, if you want to talk about, like, phrases that became, well, like, became huge, stupider like a fox is this episode,
yes,
too.
I was so excited about
That's
that.
Quoted so often, I feel like.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just feel like people, like reuse that. I almost want to say steal that. Like, also, they use that so often.
Absolutely. And also, when I just started this episode, my boyfriend Mike said, oh, is this Shake Harder Boy?
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Too.
He knew it just from that line. Yeah. And I feel like that is easily applied in regular everyday life. And
oh,
I
yeah.
hear a lot of people say it.
With the gesture.
Shake Harder Boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I also love there's doings a transpiring.
I love that, like the
that
Homer.
Couple, I love the Homer and Bart version.
The Shelbyville Homer is like some like farmer hick.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really funny to see like that's the choice.
Kind of like the same thing. That's so funny.
I know. Yeah, like that if Homer wasn't like such a city dweller, that he'd be like, you know, some like back home, like rocking back and forth on a back porch kind of guy.
I feel like Forrester really gets guys really well, because he's also King of the Hill. Like, really gets like dude behavior really funny in a way that's like, huh, you're right. That is what they're like.
Not celebrating it, but just, finding the perfect way to pick it apart.
Yeah, that's why it's such a great Homer and Bart episode. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's celebratory while still pointing out the silliness of that type of person.
Yes.
Which I love. So a visual gag or whatever you'd like to call it, just a good punchline. They are getting off. They're trying to run away with the tree. So, like, things are really happening here.
Oh,
there's something draining the battery. And then you see Homer basting a turkey.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. With an apron.
Great choice.
It's just such a joke.
Also, great choice. That totally didn't. It was just a button that, like, the scene could have, like, played and it would have been perfect. We would not have missed anything. But when they're, like, racing out of the junkyard and Homer decides to take a shower.
Yeah.
And then, like, he gets rattled back and forth, and all you hear, it could have been added afterward. It could have been like an ADR thing or whatever, but like him just going, ah, now I'm upside down.
Even just him singing in the shower.
Yes!
It's a great touch.
And it's so faint in the background. It's really great.
Yeah.
That's also, well, it was funny because last night, the episode Paul left because my Apple TV, I was watching it on Simpsons World, mm-hmm. was kind of crap.
Brag much.
I was watching it on my Apple TV and Simpsons Ooh, World.
Oh, interesting.
Simpsons PA money over
yeah,
here.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I think Apple TV is $100 maybe.
And, it's less than.
It's less than, yeah.
Ooh la la.
Also, I think I got it for, I think I got, someone gave me that as a gift. But anyways.
Oh, boy. Well, no, that's a brag.
Friends. Okay.
Unless it was your grandma.
No. Was Apple TV, TV exist in 1997 right before she passed away?
I want you to get to the bottom of this.
But we were kind of shocked by how much the Apple TV kind of crapped out. And then I watched the rest of the episode when he was gone. I did the old unplugging the modem trick. And
did you breathe into it?
I blew into it like a Nintendo cartridge. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we were shocked because he was leaving. And I was like, oh, there's only like 5 minutes left. And there's so much. There is still so much packed into the end there of like of them going into the getting Homer's, like, I think we ended right around when Homer was in the shower, and then they park and get towed into the whatever, yeah, the tow yard, and then mm-hmm. they everything happens, they escape and all that stuff, and
it's jam packed.
It's jam packed, and that ending is so funny. Like, another great visual gag. I thought you were going to say it was when
the tree
gets hit and falls off, and then there's a great meta joke there where it's like, eat our shorts, and then eat all of our shirts. That's so funny.
It's such a great meta. Yeah, it's
Marge
meta.
And Flanders do similar things sometimes in very different ways.
Absolutely. Yes. It's such a fun like dad joke, you know, like the Flanders filter on whatever the Simpsons do or say is so great.
Yes. And I just want to name a couple more things because I'm so excited. I'm going to forget them. There's another moment of a delusion of grandeur is when like I don't know why I'm saying that. When Milhouse has the camo on and he thinks that he's gonna like
I know.
Trick people and he's going like he's
now in,
like,
over here,
yeah, and he thinks he's gonna be so cool.
I love the image of like just his glasses and his like
Cheshire cat kind of
yeah but it's like his eyebrows too.
Oh yeah,
yes, it's so funny. And we didn't mention it yet, but oh wait, maybe we mention the one of the great moments of like, it's as pointless as that yellow shaped rock over there.
Yes, we didn't mention that, but
there's a lot behind that lemon shaped rock.
That's so funny.
It's such a great joke. Yeah,
that to me is a lot like the spray paint joke. Like, it's just all of these kind of tropes that you get in cartoons where there's like, this is what's going to solve the problem in this scene, but then nope, it's the next thing that happens.
Yes. Right. And the Simpsons would never settle for an easy solution like, oh, that's a lemon shaped rock. Like, that would definitely be another show. Yes. They would make a commentary on shows that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a little too convenient.
Everyone in the episode is just like perfectly aloof. Like, they kind of care, but kind of don't care about it. I just love that so much. Like, Nelson and Martin, our Teen Discovery channel.
By the way, oh my god! I mean, that song. Funny. Oh, that's such a great Martin moment.
Hark to the tale of Nelson.
So good. And the way that he prances around,
and Nelson is hang out batting with him at normally. Him. Yeah, yeah. And he's just like trying to hit him, but doesn't even like care enough. Like, it's so funny.
And I love it. There's a kindness to Nelson just being there, even though he's like so over it. The fact that he's not like being mean or angry
still with him.
Towards
it's,
Martin.
It's so, I think it's so human and real. Like, I
Absolutely.
Know relationships like that. I've been the Martin in relationships like that. I've been the Nelson in relationships like that. Like, I've played both of those roles. It's so funny and so real. Yeah, it's so good.
And I love how Martin, like, eggs on the bully in a way that he knows that he'll have his safety net. It's so good.
Some of the like, it's so funny this episode that some of the dorks, and I know this too because like I would classify myself as more of a Milhouse or a Martin or a Data or any of those guys. and I have so many Nelson like friends, and so many of those guys, like, when it comes down to it, like, are acting tough. Like, Martin grabs like that little kid and Milhouse is like, I'll kick your butt at Nintendo. It's mm-hmm. so funny.
Oh,
like,
yeah, at Nintendo. Yeah, it's so good.
Like,
especially
all for this city and their tree. It's so good. Mm-hmm. I love it.
A moment that I think is so kid-like that I laugh at even more as an adult is we see earlier, but the bell rings, that they're learning Roman numerals.
Yes.
Cut to Bart being in this horrible scenario in which there are tigers or lions behind one of these doors. Roman numerals, they didn't even try to teach us that in school.
I know.
Which just, it like instant flashbacks of every time I've said that about stuff that we must have learned.
I know. But it's such a great plant and payoff. It's such a simple plant and payoff.
It's so good.
It's
and
so
then
good.
The fact that Rocky 2 plus Rocky 5, Rocky 7. It's just the perfect
thing that
this
doesn't
is,
exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's who Bart is.
Yes.
I know.
It's perfect.
Everything about that is so perfect.
I think Mike Scully is who talked about this. I think James Brooks gave the advice that they needed to get Bart to be more like Bart again. There was a while, and the episodes are great and I love them, where Bart's super sweet and like he has this soft side, and like we love that about Bart, but you got to get Bart back to being this like bitey bratty boy.
100%.
And then they totally have it, like I think the best example of it in this episode.
It is. I agree.
He's perfect in it. I've talked about this a lot. Like I think Bart has changed a little bit when you watch recent episodes. He is kind of like a sweet dweeb. It's really strange. And my buddy Armin Weitzman, who is a huge Simpson nut,
we gotta have him on.
Oh, he's
killing it on
he
another period.
To.
He
oh,
really
yeah.
is.
Oh,
he's amazing.
He's so funny. And,
he's
and
so
he,
good.
He and I both like. We'll watch a Simpsons every time we hang out,
he and I are friends because of the Simpsons.
Oh yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's he loves
you
it. But
can
we
say
both...
that about a lot of people.
You and I are friends because of the Simpsons.
No. It might be like 90% of your friends possibly.
Yeah, this
are
is
Simpsons
actually an
friends.
Intervention. This is a long con intervention.
All of my friends are because of the Simpsons. Cut to all of my Simpsons dolls that I hang out with.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, he's kind of softened up a little bit. And I love when he's like just like a little shit and like is like a little like no like is like a little like he knows he's like America's little sweetheart and is kind of like almost like winking at the audience and he's so funny.
But
like,
even still at that moment he's being like very realistic in how boys are, I'm guessing.
Oh, for
at that
sure.
age.
And he's still a loser. Like that's the funniest thing of all.
He is still
like,
a loser. He's a little fat boy.
Yeah, he is. Totally. Like that's so funny. Like and the girls are calling you fatty fat 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 is like such a funny because you always think that Bart is like a cool dude, but then he's also not really.
What episode was that? We were with a guest and they mentioned that
it was Ben Schwartz.
It could have been Ben Schwartz. Yeah, it could have been, because we were like, it blew our minds that first addressing of, oh, I guess he is a little fat, but we just like sort of just assumed that he's drawn that way and this is the universe and everyone's kind of drawn in
that maybe
style.
He's chubby.
Yeah,
like, oh, I guess he does have a little cushion, but whatever.
A little cushion. Something that I love, speaking of just like boys and boy behavior, is, you know, we're about to have this very brave moment where they step over into Shelbyville and there's this whole speech about how it's this big thing, and then you see Lisa and her friends with the kite giggling back and forth.
It's so subtle. It's so great.
It's beautiful. Such a beautiful, it is a beautiful moment. And also it's like, it's like such that moment is like so much deeper too, of like these boys are about to go to war over something silly,
right?
And then there's two girls in the background who are more level-headed and just having fun and running back and forth between borders, and they don't care.
Yeah,
it's a much deeper thing than you really think about. It's so good.
Yeah, I you know, that moment just reminds me a lot about what it means to be a kid, which is making huge deals out of things, because it's all you kind of have.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, it does. I mean, in Stand By Me, they had a body. That's a big deal. But we don't all have that. And they would have had a summer like it even if there wasn't a dead person. Because as kids, you have to find that.
You find your adventure and you create.
You find your dead body.
You find your dead body.
You do.
Body.
Everyone finds their
trademark
dead body.
That. I think that would like really blow up.
I really
put
think
on
it
t-shirts.
Might.
Yeah.
I gotta say,
with
I'm...
no context.
Or write. Or
find your dead body.
Or write your self-help book.
Oh my God.
I mean,
that
that's
is
a
great.
Big market.
Find your dead body.
Find your dead body by Allie Gertz.
And there's that's a photo amazing. Of you on the cover, like being very pensive, like with your like an arm shelf.
Oh.
Hey, if you need a dead body, I'll gladly take up that role.
I have to find it myself.
Okay, that's a good point.
No, you have to find it inside.
What?
That's
so
know.
Gross. I love it though.
This episode does. It reminds me of. It reminds me. I'm. By the way, I feel like I have to say that I'm watching Stand By Me tonight, and I don't know. Dave Ferguson is screening it, and he's a member of my sketch group, and I recommended it, and it might have been because I was thinking of Lemon of Troy, but it, like, this episode just reminds me, it's such a great, like, childhood memory, and it's such, like, a great nostalgia episode, and I did watch this when I was younger, and I, like, loved the episode, but that moment where Bart and Milhouse are running to see what happened, which also, by the way, another thing about the episode so aloof is, like, they're in there learning about those Roman numerals, and then Nelson comes in, so he apparently isn't in school. He was just out walking about, and he comes in and says, "You got to see what happened," and everyone just leaves.
That's a great moment.
And Mr. Garoppolo, like, sits down, smokes a cigarette. It's so funny.
Well, I tried. Yeah, and then he stops to take a sip of water, and they're like, "Can't you just tell us what's going on?" "No, I said I'll tell you," or "No, I said that there's no time to explain, and I'm sticking to my word."
That's so funny. And actually, this might be a different moment, but I love when Bart and Milhouse are running down, I think, to get
it's
to the
so
tree.
It's so beautiful. Like, it's there's so funny. Yeah, you get the silhouette of the mountains, and just having Milhouse fall down the
and
steps.
You get, like, what the, like, the two characters. That's Bart, and that's Milhouse. Milhouse, of course, is falling in the water
on every
step.
It could be silent,
step.
And you'd get it.
It's so, it's so good. And he falls down the hill. It's so funny.
I love that.
I love it, too.
And we talked a little bit about some of the Milhouses, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really like the idea of telling us in the same way that we are being told that this lemon tree is a big deal. Mm-hmm. I love being told in season 6 that saying radical is Milhouse's thing.
Oh, yes. My God.
Yes, and also it's
and
a great
wearing
device.
A backpack on the...
Yeah. Hey, you can't wear your backpack on one shoulder. Oh. We invented that.
Wait, really quick before we analyze this, because I do feel like there's a good discussion there. I love Milhouse saying, like, "Oh, I'm going to explode," and then he just kind of, like, stays there for a second, and then the kid just, like, slowly walks back.
I love it.
Which is always a great moment. They have that, again, when the dog goes through the RV and kind of crunches the material. And you just see Bart and Homer kind of, like, step back.
Oh, which, by the way, that, like, visual and the logic, the cartoony logic of a dog chasing after them and then getting stuck in the door. Yes. And there's a dog-shaped face, like,
and
just
he eats
crumbled
the steak
through.
Midair.
Oh, by the way.
He's got the taste for blood now.
He's got a taste for meat, I think. But, yeah, I just love... that's... God, I can't even describe. Like, it's a very primal... thing of me laughing at that moment of, like, just like, here will be the solution, and then just an animal going like, just taking it in stride is so good. But I was going to say that to the Milhouse moment with the radical moment, it's such a great device because it comes up later when Bart is in disguise and he's got the walkie-talkie in his back pocket, and one of the Shelbyville kids says, "Oh yeah, this will be radical,"
stop,
and all you hear
saying radical,
or no, stop copying
oh
me.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
totally.
So it's like something very it's they almost don't even figure. Blows Bart's cover. Yeah.
And how it didn't blow Bart's cover, it doesn't make any sense.
I know, it doesn't make sense.
Oh, those kids are dumb.
Yeah, they're for Shelbyvillians.
I want to say a weird visual in the beginning, which I don't know if it's a mess up. I don't think it is, but it's very funny that Bart turns a corner and a part of us all, that a part of us all moment. Mm-hmm. And then he's suddenly in front of the Isotope Stadium. I was like, it's like the Isotope Stadium was, like, around the corner, like a
which
big
is so
baseball
funny.
Stadium.
How good is that
geography.
Moment? How good is that? You going to win some games? We'll see. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
just the failing the of the
wimp,
throw.
The weak throw. Yeah. Oh, and I feel like we should mention that did Greg Daniels, do you know if he worked on the show at this time? Because he then later went on to do Parks and Recreation, and the parallel between Springfield and Shelbyville is exactly
oh, that's right. And people
and
have talked about that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like totally. For people that... People are probably listening going, mention Eagleton.
Yeah. That's
I love that dynamic. I love that as a trope. It's so funny. A rival town that is like exactly them, but just a little bit better or a little bit off.
It's funny because they do say they're like, we beat you guys at like football nearly half the time. So they're worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nearly half the time, which is not like a sentence, like not a statement to me.
You're right. It means worse.
It means worse. Yes. They are literally that's, worse and they're bragging
so
about
good.
It.
Yeah. But like, I mean, that speaks directly to small town pride and
so
like
smart.
You know, like whatever those kind of people will say, like, we'll get you in the next 5 years.
Yeah,
such and such town. I don't know.
That's great.
I think that's why everyone can relate to this episode. It's such a small town pride episode where so many people in this country are like, screw my dumb hometown, but then at the same time they're like, hey, leave my hometown alone, like
screw whatever feelings. The allegedly like rival town was
100%
or especially between colleges. which mm-hmm. I never cared for yeah. when I was in college.
Me neither. I think the town thing rings the most true for me. Yeah. If I have pride in anything in this world, it is like Quincy, Massachusetts. I'm proud of my yeah. little town. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Julia and I are kind of stripped of that because we are from such a big city. So, I mean, it's kind of...
This big, messy city.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't really make sense for us to... I mean, maybe. I love L.A.
I love L.A. too. I was going to say that, like...
Stand up for it, guys. Come on.
I love L.A. There's a whole song about it that talks about all the bad things.
Yeah. It was a sarcastic song.
I know. Well, especially in comedy, I feel like there's a lot of rivalries between, like, New York comedy and L.A. comedy.
Or improv and stand-up.
Improv and stand-up. But don't even mention New York comedy or stand-up.
Sorry.
I'll leave. Bye. It's funny, like, my experience of it has been like, oh yeah, New York hates you guys, or like whatever. Who am I talking to? New York hates you guys.
You just sound dumb.
Or, you know what, here's an example. So I went to art school in San Francisco for my freshman year of college.
And, brag much?
No, thank you. I found out it wasn't for me. Oh. And I remember during orientation weekend, the dean of the school was like talking to all the freshmen and saying, you know, do we have any people from this state, this city, whatever. Do we have any people from Los Angeles? And like me and two other people raised their hands. And he goes, well, welcome to civilization.
Oof.
Wow.
I know, right? So nasty. That was like the first time that I really understood that like a lot of other cities do not like LA, but you know, LA could not give two hoots
Someone
about those other
joke.
Cities.
That's Someone has true. A joke about that where, and I don't remember who it is, but I saw it at the Dance and Independent once, and it was someone explaining how exactly that everybody hates LA and has this war against LA. Even like Northern California does not like Southern California, right. But meanwhile, Southern California loves everywhere.
We're just
like
they
just, it's like, oh yeah, NorCal. Going there this week? I love NorCal. Like,
yeah.
We don't care. And that's because we have a pretty cool place.
Whatever. And that's why they hate us, because we talk about it all the time.
I think there's a little bit of envy going on there.
Yeah, probably.
I have an orientation story that, speaking of dumb voices as well.
Ooh, cool.
Where I was in my freshman orientation at Ithaca College. Ooh. And
brag much?
not nearly as fancy.
I received a pamphlet or two from that college.
Me too. And I somehow ended up going there. I took a flyer because it was the school from Road Trip, and then I somehow went there for 4 years.
That's so funny.
No, that's a dumb boy.
and then
I was at freshman orientation, and they were like, say your name and a little bit about yourself, and I was like, my name's Mike and I'm from Quincy or whatever, and the orientation leader stopped me and was like, hey, this isn't like a joke, this is like a real thing. And at the time, my Boston accent was, it's nearly gone now, but it was so much thicker. I had like a really thick Boston accent that she thought that I was doing like
a
character, like doing that dumb voice that you were doing before. Like they thought I was being like, yeah, what's going on? Like they thought like I was doing like a guy. And I was like, this is me. And then she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. That's how. Then you know what? I stayed at that level throughout the rest of my college experience.
So let me ask: do you guys think? And this is kind of a which house are you? Do you guys think you'd be in Springfield or Shelbyville?
Springfield all the way.
Springfield all the way.
I think I would.
I don't have any attractive cousins.
You know what?
Well, that's.
I hope none of them are listening.
No, just kidding. Allie, I love you.
I got attractive cousins. For days. They're all good looking. But I'm not interested in any of them.
Oh, good.
So.
I should have answered that way.
But I think Springfield is a little bit more of that city feel, unlike Shelbyville. Shelbyville feels a little bit of the heck. So I love seeing Shelbyville on this episode. It's so funny. I'd be a Springfield guy.
Yeah.
I at least hope so. I hope I wouldn't be
I'm sure there's a BuzzFeed quiz.
Yeah.
There's got to be.
God, Lewis Peitzman, get on that.
Lewis. what are some other moments, if there are any that we missed, that you would like to talk about in this episode?
The only one that I can think of is the ending moment with, because Grandpa is great when the kids sit down in front of him, but the ending moment where they're kind of wrapping things up, and it's just this perfect little tale about Springfield, and Grandpa's is wrapping up the story, and And Smithers had those chargers that he could easily afford or whatever he yes. says. And Flanders.
He could easily afford.
Yeah, people don't get
that. What a great line.
It's no, you're fine.
That's such a great moment. And then we see the Shelbyville grandpa, and he's and then everyone's making turnip juice. And you know what? They get so many lemonade jokes in there. Like, there's like five lemon, like there's the country, the mixed
oh,
packet.
Oh yeah.
There's Bart in Milhouse, like, where it's clearly booming, and then the last joke, they pour like a cup of sugar onto like a little yes. bit of lemon juice.
Yeah. Also, you hear Grandpa in the distance while they're doing the beet juice or the turnip juice. You hear Grandpa saying, like, now there are eight edible parts of a lemon. Like, there are only eight parts of a lemon you could eat.
Yeah.
Which is just such a funny detail in the background.
It's so great. The way they go out of that episode and the Shelbyvillians are stuck with their turnip juice. It's so great.
Ugh, and yeah, they're wincing as they
and they're
it.
And they're trying to be proud of it. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. So something that we like to do on the show mm-hmm. when we're wrapping up is there a lesson from either this conversation that we've had or this episode, revisiting it, that you would write on the chalkboard at the beginning of the episode, or just a lesson that you've gleaned from revisiting this?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's the lesson that Marge teaches, that is, you gotta find pride, and as silly and crazy as this little life can be, I think you gotta find sometimes yeah. you gotta be proud of these things. And I love that, how people can bond together over something. It's just, it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. I guess that would be my takeaway from the episode is be proud. Be proud of where you're from and who you are and what you're doing, even if it is silly and in reality maybe no one truly cares about it, but it makes you who you are.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, and I would say that, you know, just being proud of where you are right now.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be that, you know.
Are you trying to just make me say that I like LA? I like it. Yeah. All right, guys. It's a great place. It's a great
now
city.
Do you like the pizza?
The pizza's better than New York.
Oh,
I said it here
God,
first.
Oh, God. It's not the water. Oh, no. Don't tell New York.
So where can people find any stuff that you're working on these days? And what can they look forward to?
So I'm working on this show called Hidden America with Jonah Ray. And it's a... It's an NBC digital show. Comes out on this... this platform called CISO, uh-huh. and that's coming out later this year, I believe.
Super funny people involved in that show, from the writers to the performers.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That comes out so far
except
from now.
For I don't Jonah.
Except for Jonah.
Oh, wow.
Fuck Jonah.
I'm telling him. I'm telling him.
No,
on Tuesday. What else is there? The Birthday Boys season one and two is on Netflix.
Which yeah. is wonderful. I love mm-hmm. Birthday Boys.
I'm on a podcast called Doughboys, which we got to get you guys on at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah, you and Nick Weiger.
Nick Weiger and I are, we eat fast food and we review it. And then my Twitter handle is B-Day Boys Mitch. Well, it's kind of bad, whatever.
You could change it, you know.
How long
have you had that Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle used to be, and every time I tell this, people are like, that's gross. It used to be Mitch Cumstein, and it's a reference to Caddyshack. and then people were like, that's gross. And so I changed it to B-Day Boys Mitch, especially because I was in the Birthday Boys.
Sure.
And it made sense at the time. And then also check out Love, too, is my last thing. That will be on Netflix in March.
What's Love?
It's Paul Rust's new show, and it's going to be really funny.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. And I appear in that a couple times. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. So much good stuff. And that was a wonderful episode. Thank you for joining.
Of course. Before I go, do you guys have any more Simpsons questions?
Oh my God.
I don't know if I scrapped
the... Honestly, anything.
Scraped the surface. Well, a thing that I didn't tell you guys, that I should have brought this up early on, is that I have a bunch of original table draft scripts of like some of the Sweet Spot seasons.
Ooh.
They were at... Matt Groening's assistant was throwing them away.
In the trash can?
And throwing them away in the trash can. What? And I nabbed them. I got two boxes full. And so
good.
Like they're like some of the... I got to bring them. They're buried right now. They're truly buried in my trunk. But like they have...
That's
like...
incredible.
Yeah, and they're like lines highlighted for Homer. Like some of like the original... Like some of the big lines and stuff, like classic
stuff. Who is
this
assistant? Give me a name.
No, I won't.
It'd be too bad.
Yeah,
we'd have the mob knocking on my door the next day. That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. There's, I all the all the voice actors there are amazing people, and all the writers, all those guys are really great.
Except...
No, all of them are so awesome, and I was there for like the ride and the movie, like the end of the movie.
That's awesome.
The
ride, oh, and, yeah. ride stuff, and yeah. the movie. Jeez, yeah.
What yeah. do you think of what do you think of the Universal stuff?
The... I haven't been yet.
It's so cool.
And we might we were talking. So I was talking to Matt Selman about possibly reviewing it for Doughboys episode and going.
Oh,
there.
Oh, great! Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, have you guys been?
Maybe
yet?
We'll That'd be cool there at this.
We were also
actually,
there.
Maybe it will be you guys.
That would be really great. Cool. We could have a crossover episode.
That
we
sounds
have,
amazing. Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah,
we'll both have our own separate. Yeah, we'll both have our own separate podcast recording devices.
Yeah,
so that we can
and then
have
Matt
multiple.
Selman should be there hating all of it.
Oh, great. Oh, good. I was going to say that you should, I really want you to have a game room in the future that you walk in and it's just lined with framed scripts from The Simpsons, just like wall to wall. It's just like how people, how musicians on like, you know, Cribs, MTV Cribs would have like their gold records on the walls of like their game rooms. Like it's just Simpsons scripts for you.
I would love to do. I have.
You should do that.
I have, because I was the things you have to cover with your job is doing the Christmas gift, and that is when I was there. It was a Marjuvac, so it was like an actual Marge, like a vacuum, but then like there was a wig on it. And
what?
It was this whole thing, and we had to deliver like 700 of them. It was craziest thing.
That's
Do you have one?
Strangest gift I've ever heard of.
I have a Marjuvac, and my mom has a Marjuvac. She still uses it to this day. It's a good vacuum, and I have one at my place, and it's a great vacuum. Ooh, I should have said that.
Like, it looks like Marge?
100% see it. It looks... It will like
okay, so the bottom part is the face, and then the big part is the hair.
It's like a yellow Eureka vacuum, and then our job was to open up each one of these, put a blue Marge wig in, and then put like sticky eyes in there too. And so you put it on, and you can start a Marjuvac.
So yeah. you made them.
So we pretty much made them. We had to do that for like
that
600 to 700
job.
Of those.
How long did that take? Like a full week?
We had like a full stage of like. A full like stage at Fox of just all these
wow.
Simpsons Christmas gifts, and I remember just like driving
those
around with these
bizarre
things.
Moments
crazy.
When you're PAing though, like those are magical moments.
They're
you can ask to do some weird ass shit.
And there were so many great moments too, where like I remember like my first day coming in, and I went into the writer's room, and Ian Maxtone Graham like introduced me to the room, and I said a funny joke, and everyone laughed, and it was like. Such
oh
a great
God.
Moment, and Ian was like, "Good, he's like, good job." He knew like the pressure, like they put pressure on me, and I pulled through. I never made them laugh again, but it was a good for
one
day.
No, you made them laugh
you get
in
one,
like
and that's
the
amazing.
Best moment.
Yes, the only
make,
moment that
like,
mattered.
You know, Kathy from accounting laugh once. Like you made everybody
she
laugh.
At everything.
She laughs at everything.
I'm so embarrassed. I even told that story. I'm like, oh my God, that's so sad.
No,
I, like,
no,
I made
no.
them all laugh one day. Everybody.
I tell stories like that all the time. Like you got to hold on to them because
we're all gonna
yeah,
die.
We're all gonna die.
You guys have been to a Simpsons table read now, right?
We have.
Yes, we okay. have. Yeah. But we'd love to go again
if you're inviting us.
Sure
we
thing.
Would love to go. We can go with you if you want. That'd be fun.
I gotta go back together.
No, we went. Separately.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, we can work it out.
Yeah, we walk in, they're like, oh, we know who you are. Fuck off.
I love that.
Oh, I love it.
Scorn or love,
whatever
it is. Matt
Groening saying that to us.
Oh my God. Wouldn't that be so cool?
I was so against type.
I would love it if, for some reason, Matt Groening had beef with us.
Yeah.
He does, from what I've heard.
Whoa!
Yay! We did it! I quit.
Bye.
Are there any other stories that you would like to share? This has all been amazing.
No, I mean, there's...
And we can also have you come back again if you ever
for
wanna.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, there's
talk about it
when
theme
we go
park.
To Springfield.
There was I went through so much stuff over there. Yeah, maybe some other time I'll come on. Have you guys had? Have you had Matt Selman on the show yet?
Not yet.
Not
we want
yet,
to.
But we're going to.
Man, he's great. He hazed me as a PA.
Did he?
Yeah.
I did the live stream with him for when they did the Simpsons marathon.
Oh yeah. He's a great guy, and he. I remember he bought me like a peanut butter stirrer. Like he wanted me to like stir his peanut butter.
Oh
and stuff.
My God.
They put
That's
me through
fun.
The ringer over
That's
there, but
fun.
I love that.
I love those guys. They're all so funny and they're like a family. I got to go back down and visit at some point.
Yeah. That gives us ideas for what to do with our intern, Brendan.
Yes.
God. Monsters.
Oh, intern Brandon informed me during the podcast that Greg Daniels was working at The Simpsons during this episode. So okay. Very nice.
Oh, I forgot to mention, when I left, when I was leaving The Simpsons,
what a sentence already.
I know. So sad.
Terry
Green gave me a basketball, and it was basketball that Conan, like, they used to like play basketball with, his basketball. And it was, God, who was it signed by? It was signed by Conan, Greg Daniels, and I forget who the third person was, and I feel so terrible. It's sitting in my closet right now. And then I got Tom Brady to sign it later on.
Whoa,
so
what
I
have a ball.
It's Conan's basketball. I have Conan's old basketball.
That's the coolest thing.
Yeah, yeah. Was it
JFK.
It was JFK, too.
Wow.
Whoa.
A lot of good, Massachusetts
basketball.
People.
Yeah. Time-traveling basketball.
Time-traveling. Gotta get that ball. Follow it home to the 21st century.
Guys, next time I'll bring a bunch of stuff.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Oh, this has been a treat.
I just invited myself back.
Yes,
too,
so. We would love to have you back.
We could film it from wherever you have your stuff too. We're portable.
We're portable too. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hooray! Well, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
And you know, follow us in all the places on Twitter and Facebook, Simpsons Pod, and everything's coming up. podcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Feral Audio.